I want to talk today about authority, but I also want to talk today about harmony. Today is also the commemoration of St. Francis of Assisi. You know, a lot of images of St. Francis of Assisi see him as kind of a hippie and, you know, chilling with nature and all that. But I think the strongest image that comes through in all those images is that here is a person who is in harmony with God's creation, with God and with God's creation. St. Francis, before entering into this spiritual life, was a man of the world. He was a soldier. He was kind of a man about the town, he would face battle, and he was injured, and he spent a lot of time essentially quarantined or recovering from his injuries. But that gave him an opportunity to what? To stop. To just stop. And now with all the distractions of the world, all the lust for power and everything else that consumed him for so long, those were gone. And he was left alone with God. And that changed him. So much so that he began to understand the deeper truths about what it really means to live and what it really means to live in harmony with God. You know, don't we want that? I love that word harmony. Don't we want that? We want to be in harmony with God. We want to be at peace. We live in such tumultuous times right now. We wonder where peace can ever be found. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm finding it right here and right now. Here we are before our Lord. Here we are gathered together as people who love the Lord, who desire greatly to serve Him, who want nothing more than to please God. You know, when the people saw the great miracle before them, the first words that Sacred Scripture says is they feared. Okay? But then it went on to say, then they praised God. You know, but they feared. A beautiful fear of the Lord. I wonder if that's what St. Francis entered into. Fear of the Lord in the biblical sense does not mean that he's going to club you on the head, but that, you know, you just love him and you're such awe and wonder of God that, you know, you fear ever displeasing him. He's your everything. Now, I can remember that happening to me. You know, it was on my 23rd birthday. It was many days leading up to that where I too took time and just stopped. I got away from, you know, the typical stuff you do in college, the social scene and everything, and just for whatever reason decided to stop. And it was that time too that I felt in love with the Lord. And I got biblical fear, you know. You're amazing. You're awesome. What can I do? I want to do something. I'll become a priest. So I emerged from my parents' basement where my bedroom was, and informed them that not that I'm thinking about going to seminary, but that I am going to seminary. It was the first time they ever heard of it. And but that it can happen that way, okay? And so I think it happened with St. Francis. But it led him to form a community, right? That, you know, drew from each other strength. Not strength in pride or conceit or anything like that, but strength in understanding that we are humble before our God. You know, I brought today one of the things that the Franciscans wear around their waist. Here's the cord that they wear. Maybe I could put it right here. Just keep it there for today. Just so we can look at this. Because I want to draw attention to those three knots in the cord. This is the vow of that the Franciscans make. And you'll generally see them with their Franciscan robe on, and they'll have this cord around their waist. The idea of having a cord around your waist is that you're girded to the Lord. You're at one with Him, right? And then what they want to do is to take these vows represented by these knots. It's providential. God is amazing. But here we are on this commemoration of St. Francis of Assisi, and the rotation of the reflections for Novena for Our Nation happened to talk about these vows that the Franciscans take. It landed right here. And I want to explore that with you briefly today. So why these, I'll get to what each knot means in a second, but first, it's actually meant to be a counter to what St. John writes in his letter, where he says this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving sensual gratification, the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world. This is a triple slavery, many scripture scholars talk about, which replaces the original harmony. It overthrows that original harmony. Christ came to restore that order that has been destroyed. With this end in view, he gave us what's called the three evangelical councils. They're also called the councils of perfection. And so before we get into that, a person who is caught with these sins, okay, and these are the primary ones St. John talks about. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. I think if we stop and think about that for a while, we would agree with him in many ways. So what counters that slavery? What counters that disharmony? You know, that chaos that can get into our lives. You know, I always say, too, that, and this is where we get to the idea of authority, that, you know, it's said in sacred scripture, they were amazed at the authority given to man, okay? Given to, is one of the translations. But of course to Jesus Christ, but through the power of Jesus Christ, now given to all of us, we have an authority. Okay, we need to respect and acknowledge that authority. If ever I've been made of friends with a lot of exorcists over the years, we sit and talk, and a lot of times they talk about, this is an essential factor when we're talking about, you know, staying close to the Lord and being, you know, separated from demons, from the devil in our lives, this idea of authority. And so who is legitimate authority in our lives? Of course, you know, I need to give authority over to the bishop and the pope and all those, and, you know, laity with their pastors. But in the whole, you know, the fathers, we always say you're the St. Joseph's. You know, you have that spiritual authority. But both parents have authority for their children. And so with that authority, you're choosing by the lives that you lead, by the choices that you take, what you are opening your home up to. You know, exorcists will call this portals, entryways. What are we opening up our home to? So are we inviting demons? I always tell people, the devil's at your doorstep, always, looking for a reason, conniving, trying to hit your weaknesses, to find a way for that door to swing open and for him to come in and lay out on your couch and have control of the home. And so we see lust of the eyes. Well, what's the counter to that? Poverty is that first knot. And so for the Franciscans, yes, they take a vow of poverty for the life. I think they can't own anything, really. But for us, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that, okay, for the laity, or for those who don't take these vows of poverty. But it does mean something for us. To counter lust of the eyes, it's not that you own the thing, it's whether the thing owns you. Or there's this obsession with wanting to have and possess something else, so much so that it consumes us. You see, that invites disorder into our lives. That turns over authority from God to the stuff that we have and we, you know, grasp onto and desire and are jealous because everybody has, you know, more square footage in their house than we do or whatever. You know, that this invites the demons of chaos and disorder into the home. No, we need to be at peace. We need to be at rest. Thank God for everything that we have. Count anything else as blessing. That's that poverty of spirit. You know, do the things of our lives own us? You know, and so once we're able to let go and just live in gratefulness rather than in wanting, okay? In that spirit of gratefulness, now we're ushering in, now we're opening up a portal to the God's grace and blessing into our lives, where an order, that harmony with God. So that's the first knot. The second knot that they have is chastity. This counters lust of the flesh. So chastity is the commitment and fidelity to purity, no matter what your state in life, whether married, single, or consecrated. Chastity reminds us of the deeper meaning of sexuality. Many in society treat people like animals and detach the marital act from the reverence it deserves. They accept it and promote it as in the wrong context, and thus betray its sacredness. Its sacredness. You see, that's what chastity is all about. Now, I've said this before, but men struggle with this particularly. Never, ever objectify a woman. Ever. She's sacred. I always try to, build that point by saying, listen, God's special love interest, you and I, his adopted sons and daughters, were created last. We were the crescendo. But guys, realize this, we were second to last, okay? The ultimate crescendo was the one who would be the tabernacle of new life. I mean, woman is amazing. Don't ever objectify that. So chastity is about this understanding of the sacredness of sexuality. Okay? And so when we're in that place, we can't be irreverent toward that. See, that's what that second knot is about. And so if we're, if we're objectifying women, or, I'm not going to get on the list with all the children here, but you know what I'm talking about. What do? We open up that door and the devil comes in, and we're inviting that devil into our home. It's a portal. And in this day and age, with easy access P-word, the portals are just like flooding into homes, inviting literal demons. Talk to exorcists. I've talked to them many times about this. One of the major ways that demons get into the homes. But how do we invite God's blessing and grace into the home? We say no more. We're not animals. We're God's blessed children. Woman is amazing. Most beautiful thing God ever created. Look at it that way. Guys, let's start standing when women walk into a room. I always did that when I was a kid. Whatever happened to that? Well, because, feminism wanted women to be equal, so they wanted them to be pigs like men are. And you know what I'm talking about here? To, again, turn us into animals, objectify sexuality and all that stuff. Again, that opens up portals. All right, and then what's the third knot? Poverty, chastity, obedience. It's probably the most critical one. This gets to authority again. Okay? When we are altogether obedient, it's like it turns a light switch on to or opens up the floodgates. The dam breaks open of God's supernatural grace pouring into our lives. Again, they want to be girded to Jesus. How are we girded to Jesus? Sir, yes, sir, I want to do it your way and your way only. Okay, now he can trust you. See what I'm saying? When we trust God, when we give God all authority, all right, he can trust us to what? To be his representatives, so that when he gives us a power, we go out, okay, and we're not all full of ourselves and objectifying women, and clinging to things. As a representative of Christ, no. No, we, okay, it's great I have stuff, but you know, I'm not attached to it. Woman is sacred. Sir, yes, sir. You're my God. You alone. And then watch what happens. Watch what happens. So again, let's get back to that image of St. Francis. He's sitting there like kind of a hippie and just, but he's at harmony with God and creation. That's what's trying to be emphasized. Don't we want that? Well, remember the three knots then. Okay? Don't be attached to stuff. Okay? Don't treat sexuality like you're a bunch of animals. And don't be so prideful that you can't follow God and legitimate authority. Now the portal of God's supernatural grace floods into our lives and amazing things happen. And so, my brothers and sisters, let us seek harmony. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.